Hi guys, Pastor Greg Corcoran here from Battlefield Baptist Church. Pray that this sermon is a blessing, an encouragement, and a challenge to you in your walk with the Lord. Additionally, I just wanted to say that if we here at Battlefield can ever be a blessing to you, please don't hesitate to contact us. And the best way to do that is through our website at battlefieldbaptist.org. Again, I pray this sermon blesses you, encourages you, and that you'll fall more in love with God, more in love with His Word, and more in love with people.
Thank you so much to our choirs, our kids' choir. I got that. Thank you so much to our choir and our kids' choir. Man, they have been a blessing to me this morning. Hey, we are going to take up our faith promise commitments after the conclusion of the message today. And so we will do that as soon as our missionary, Ron Taylor, is done bringing us the Word of God. So don't be trying to sneak out of here and make sure that, yeah, you end up with your perfect angel as the kids' choir is dispersing. But right now, if you would, please, would you guys welcome our missionary, Ron Taylor, from New York.
Thanks, Pastor. Appreciate it.
Are you on?
I think so. Well, good morning. If you got a Bible, you want to take it to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. If you don't have a Bible, you can follow along with us on the screen. That's no problem. And while you're turning there, I just want to say, Pastor, thank you once again for the invite and being a part of everything that's happening here and letting us be a part of everything that's happening here. To Dave and Bonnie, you guys are a blessing. I don't know where you're at. They're secret Mets fans right now, by the way. Not so secret Mets fans. Yes, there you go. All right. They're cheering us on, so we've had a really good time at their house and just had a good time with getting to know all of you. Just wanted to give you a quick snapshot. If you haven't been here this week or you're visiting with us, we are the Taylors, Ron and Susan, and it's really hard for me not to say Noah and Allison, but we are empty nesters, and so I'm going to say it that way. But it's just Ron and Susan, missionaries to New York City. If you've never been to New York City, we'd love for you to come at some point. I'm hoping 2026 maybe is a time where we have a missions trip to New York. For those of you that don't like to fly or have been disobedient and didn't get your passport, all right, you can still come and be a part of what's going on there. But wanted to let you know, in 2020, we started a thing called Connect NYC. We are helping urban church planters, people who have a call to come to urban areas to just equip leaders and launch churches. It's given us an opportunity, a hand up, in helping people do that. We have a big, hairy, audacious goal, and that is to plant 5 churches in each of the 5 boroughs of New York City, 25 churches total. And so God's been good to us. We've planted 5 churches, 4 that have worked, all right? So if you know anything about failure, it happens, and you fail forward and let God do those kinds of things. But right now, God's been giving us an opportunity to see those things progress. And I got to tell you, walking away from works that are happening this morning and all the ins and outs of that is a little nerve-wracking, but I'm so excited for the team that God's given us. I wanted to give you a quick thought about them, and if you could pray for them. They're mixed up all over New York City right now and converging on a couple of churches to help me while I'm gone. So if you could pray for our team right there, we would appreciate it. But if you got your Bible and you're in Colossians chapter 3 with us today, you can keep going. I was going to give a quick thought, but we'll keep going from that. Colossians chapter 3 is where we're at right now. Colossians chapter 3, and it's just a couple of first verses there, 1, 2, and 3 together. It says, "If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on the things of the earth, for you're dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God." I wish I had some kind of a normal missions message for you, but I got to be honest, since we got here, just been kind of wrestling, not wrestling with God, but kind of wondering, Lord, is this what you want me to preach? And he put it in my heart, and I thought, you know what? I'm going to go for it. And then I was even teetering the other day. Remember we were talking, and he said, I put the bulletin together, and I said, well, I don't know. I may not be preaching that message. And he said, you dirty rascal, right? I just put all that stuff in the bulletin. And listen, I'm going to be honest with you. I probably won't run with that bulletin. And every church we've got and we're a part of has a lot of Islanders and Nigerian mix. And they talk back to me. So if you don't talk back to me after a while and say, amen, here in a minute, I'm probably going to ask for that, right? Or I'm going to amen myself, if that could be possible, all right? But We took some time a few years ago and got out on deputation. I love the way we do this thing. It's, deputation, if you're not familiar with that, is kind of churches around America who would, like the old posses, would they deputize people to go in their own stead, right? Like a sheriff would with his posse. And so you've deputized us to go into New York City to be your hands and feet. And we appreciate the support, the prayer, and the money to be able to do that for you, because most of you that I met this week said, I wouldn't go there if you paid me, right? But I'm thankful to be there. And while we were out and about, I just noticed a couple of years ago, we were in New York and Georgia and Florida and Louisiana and Missouri and a few churches. And I got to tell you, we are a nation divided. Yeah. This whole thought of kids on the stage singing what they just sang a minute ago, I sat there and choked back tears. Because I believe with all of my heart we need you. Missionaries need you. You know, you have such a luxury here, and I hope that you take this in the right way, but you have a luxury. We passed about 18 churches from Dave's and Bonnie's house to come to this church. You have such a luxury to see all these wonderful churches, and you have the luxury to sit back sometimes and say, well, the music's not my liking, and so I'm going to go somewhere else. Or that pastor, he's not my preference, and so I'm going to go somewhere else. And what we're finding in the city is there's just not enough of us, you know? And sometimes you go where you don't like the music so much because there's just not enough of us. You hear what I'm saying? And I got out into the Bible Belt and some of the places that had a lot of church backing. And boy, I'm thankful to God that we've had men and women long time ago who recognized there needs to be somebody here with a good Bible-believing church that people can understand the Word of God and do great things for Him and send missionaries around the world. But what I'm finding is in all of those places that there's a thought. Help me out, guys, if you don't mind. There's a thought with our young people. And they've begun to see what, they've tasted what the church has, and because of not just a nation divided, but churches that are divided, I'm watching our young people deconstruct their faith. You know, if you've never experienced this, it's this idea of, you know, instead of a hamburger, it's the burger on one side and the lettuce and the tomato if you look at food, but they've been coming to God's word in a deconstructive way. They've maybe grown up in a church, heard God's word, but have found themselves in a place where they don't really want the wrath of God, but they want the love of God. Can I just say, as people of God, we have fallen into a camp, I believe, and hear me out. We've fallen into this camp where most of the churches, I mean, almost every church we went into, they stand on God's word. They preach God's word. They are obedient to God. They are telling people what they should, and they're standing up for what they believe in. Thank God for that. Amen? I mean, we need that. But what I'm finding is there's a tone that it comes across to. Hear me. We ought to take a stand for the Word of God. Amen? But boy, sometimes the attitude in which we take it, It comes across, and when you have life come and kick you in the teeth and things happen to you, the last thing you want to hear when you walk into a church is somebody who's standing on the promises of God and pushing it down your neck.
That's right.
I'm watching as I look through the Apostle Paul, and as he preached and gave some things. You'll have to hang with me, guys, because these are my notes, by the way. The 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 2 just says, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all, did Paul understand all mysteries? No, he's being facetious here, right? He's saying, though I understand all mysteries, and I have all knowledge, and though I have all faith, and he didn't have all that. He's saying, so that I can remove mountains. But then read it with me, he says, and have not what?
Charity.
I'm nothing. I don't have the love. I I see in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 1 where it just says, "And the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand and walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks." He says to this church, I know your works. I know your labor. I know your patience. You can't bear them that are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. You've stood the test of time. You're standing up for the faith of God. Then he goes on to say this, you've borne and have patience, and for my name's sake, you've labored and have not fainted. But then he goes on to say this, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because you've left your first love. I'm telling you, when you walk in a trench with somebody who's hurting and the love of Jesus Christ comes out of you, you recognize they're dirty, but you can't clean a fish until you catch a fish, right? And sometimes you got to take some time and help them understand who Jesus Christ is in them to work out of them. And there are a lot of times where I got to tell you, we may have a nation divided, but I'm telling you, we have church where people who stand on the words of God. Matter of fact, I would say it this way. I would say that most Christians could say that they fear God. And most Christians would say they revere him and that they want to serve him and that they obey him. But the scripture asks, do you love him? Do you love him? Because our actions will show that, will they not? Our actions will show whether we're walking with God. I know this may be a different kind of missionary message, and you may have been expecting the Great Commission today, but I'm going to tell you, the Great Commission is a great command for those of us who love Jesus Christ and will allow him to work in us and through us. But if we're not here, church, we're going to have problems. And this next generation, we need you. We need you, and we need them, you know? More than ever, we need you and we need them. I love the fact that these verses don't say you lost your first love. You with me? They say you left it. And if you're like me, there's a thing called tile. I don't know if you guys have a tile, but I lost my keys so many times. For Christmas one year, they gave me tile for my wallet and for my keys, right? And so on my phone, if I haven't lost it, I can go to the app and I can find my wallet and my keys anywhere I want to go. It gives me a little ring, and I can try to find where it's going on. Listen, I've left things in a lot of places, and I got to tell you, I'm so thankful when I find those things. And maybe today is the day that you walked away, and unfortunately, as you're looking around in life, you have been fearing God and obeying God and serving God, but when you really stop and think about it, you're not loving God, and today's the day. We need you. The mission field, they need you. They need Battlefield Baptist Church to love the Lord their God with all their heart and mind and soul and strength. And if we'll do that, I promise, we won't have any problems seeing all the other things come about. Now, we read a verse together, right? We read a verse together, but I want you to see this real quickly. A.W. Tozer said it this way. He said, if the Holy Spirit was withdrawn from the church today, 95% of what we would do, no one would know the difference. Then he said, if the Holy Spirit had been withdrawn from the New Testament church, 95% of what they would have done would stop, and everyone would know the difference. Isn't that wild? I'm wondering where the people are who are saying, restore unto me the joy of my salvation and uphold me with a free spirit. I'm wondering where the people are that said, as the deer, as the hart panteth for the water, brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. I'm wondering where there are people that say, my soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God, right? Church, I'm looking for people who would say that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, right? Maybe today, I'm starting with the back end first. Is that all right, Pastor? Maybe today, it's that we just don't know how to do that. If you've ever gotten on your knees and it's been numb, and you're not finding God anywhere in the room, maybe today's the day where we just stop and say, God, would you help me to hunger to be more hungry? Could you help me just thirst to be more thirsty? Because we need you. We need you. Now, the verse we read together in Colossians chapter 3 is speaking to those of us who know Jesus Christ as our Savior. We know that because at the beginning of it, it says, if you then be what? If you be risen with Christ, right? And I know that that kind of just throws everybody else out that comes into the room that's just like investigating church or trying to find out where their life is or what's happening with Jesus. But what, I got to tell you, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, the best time you could ever do it is at missions conference. The best time you could ever do it is when you got people here who are going somewhere else to tell others about Jesus, and you'd find him right here. And it really is not a simple thing, but it's a beautiful thing, isn't it? How many of you have ever told a lie? Look around. I mean, hold them up, guys. Hold them up. Yep. How many of you have ever stolen anything? Keep them up in the air, right? And if you just said you didn't steal anything, you're a liar, all right? You blew it again, okay? We are lying, thieving, adulterers at heart. We're all here together, all right? And the beauty in that is this. There are some of us who still sit in that sin. There are others of us that know that God's blood has covered that. See, the beauty in the gospel is this, is that God Almighty knew that you'd never work your way to him, and so he stepped out of heaven, and he clothed himself in a man, and he led a perfect sinless life, and he died on a cross, and he satisfied the wrath of God in that. He was buried and rose from the grave, and he conquered hell in the grave so that you might just come here and hear that message today. And maybe you came here today and you've never been risen with Christ, but today's the day. Today's the day that you know you're in your sin. There's nothing you can do about that, but God's going to have to clean that sin from you. I hope you come to know Jesus Christ today. I've been praying for you to come. The staff has been praying for you to come to know Jesus Christ today. I love what Mark Trotter says about salvation. He says, think about the incredible power that God unleashed when he reached into the tomb on the first day of the week and raised Christ from the dead. The most incredible power in the entire universe. The very power of the Almighty God. That, my friend, is the same incredible power in all of its fullness that God himself unleashed on the day we call upon his name. He reached down into the tomb of our life and he raised us up from the dead. Isn't that awesome? Yeah? I love those thoughts. Now, what he says to you and I who know him as Savior is something different. If you came here today and you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, he says just two thoughts to us. He says, seek those things which are above and set your affection on those things. And, you know, Paul reminds me a little bit of me when I used to write papers for college. I would write, you know, my teachers, I didn't get saved till later on in life, and so school was kind of a blur for me. And when I went to college, I had to go back and learn how to study and figure some things out. I remember I would write things and stuff, you know what I mean? Like, those were educated words for me, you know? This stuff has things, you know? And Paul kind of writes that way. I have a kindred spirit with him. You notice he says things here a couple of times, right? He says, seek those things which are above and set your affections on those things. And I see positive things, if you will. I've always been the smartest kid in the slow class. You with me? Right? I see positive things. Those got to be things of heaven. And then I see the negative things. Those things got to be the things below, right? And as you begin to pick through the Bible, again, I'm not the most educated guy in the world, but as you start looking through the Bible and he starts talking about the things here on this earth, chapter 6 and verse 19 just says, lay not up for yourself treasures upon where? Earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. And I think about the things on earth. Man, I used to be a youth pastor, okay? I still have a lot of that in me. Man, I love youth. They're so energetic, right? But I always tried to be cute with them and give them some kind of thought, you know? And then when I put this together, Susan was like, I don't think you should do that, you know? But so I went with it anyway, because because she can't get up here and tell me now that I can't do it, right? All right? But she is smarter than me, so maybe you won't like this. But when I see moths, I see clothes. Listen, I like nice clothes, right? But some of us work really, really hard just to buy a lot of nice clothes. He says, we're rust. I hate cars. I told you men that before, right? But there are a lot of people who work their entire life to have really nice clothes, really nice cars, and then I went with cribs, and she didn't like that too much, right? But they were breakthrough. Well, your crib, right? Your house. Isn't that the American dream, right? Listen, the American dream is this. I'm going to work for 60 years of my life. I'm going to stockpile a whole lot of money. We're going to have a lot of good clothes and some nice cars and a really nice home. And at some point, we're going to buy an RV, which is not a recreational vehicle. There's nothing recreational vehicle about an RV, all right? I'm just telling you right now. I'm going to buy an RV. I'm going to drive all over the United States, and we're going to see all the sights. And what ends up happening 9 out of 10 times is that you saved all that money and you never have any of the energy to go do what the latter thought was, right? I'm not saying blow all your money. I'm just saying if that's what we've been doing for the last 60 years, that's not what these verses are talking about. That's not what Paul said for us as Christians. You see what I'm saying? And we've bought a lie that the world has taught us about being able to stockpile money and being able at some point down the road, some point down the road, some point down the road. And then some point down the road happens and cancer takes place or leukemia takes place or something eats up all of that savings and you end up sitting all the way down the road working 65 to 75 of your years collecting a lot of things here on this earth that have never stockpiled anything in heaven. You want the best bang for your buck, I promise you'll either go or you'll give to missions. And so when I see things on earth, those are the things I see. And again, like I said, I don't have it all figured out. But as I look through scripture, I can see a few things that are in heaven that we're supposed to put our affections upon. Can you give me just a second? I'll give you four of them. There may be more, and if you find them, great. Why don't you give those to me later on? Because that means you're digging in your Bible, and I appreciate that, all right? But if you'll just go with me for a second. If you look at John, 1 John chapter 5, verse 7, it says, for there are three that bear record where? Come on, church, where? In heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. I love this idea here. He's just saying, listen, you want to find something that's in heaven, not on earth? You'd be wise to spend your time seeking the person of God. Take your time. Understand who the person of God is. Because here's the thing. The closer I get to the Lord, the more I start doing things that are not my character but His. The gentleman was just talking about boldness a moment ago. Your pastor is bold. I love that in him, right? But there are times in life where there's that little bit of fear that creeps up inside of you. You sit next to a guy on the subway, and you know God's kind of speaking to your heart, saying, well, you should tell him about Jesus. And I'll sit there and wrestle with him for two stops. God, oh, I don't want to do that. I know what's going to happen. But I can tell you this. There are times where I wrestle with God, and that becomes the flag for me to know that I'm just not walking with God the way I should. Then there are times where I'm walking with the Lord, and I can't wait to I'm praying, God, sit somebody down right here. I want to talk to that guy. I want to talk to whomever you sit. That's always the days where you have to end up going up and find somebody because nobody will sit next to you. You know what I'm saying? But the person, seeking the person of God. Look at this real quickly. If we were saved because God sought us and bought us, which we are. Because we're incapable of seeking Him when we were lost, God came after us with vengeance. Every one of us owes a great debt of gratitude to somebody who was just seeking after God and took the time to share Jesus Christ with you. Now that we're saved, will you love Him enough? Will you seek Him enough so that God may be that person that is used? You're the person used to go reach your neighbor? You don't know. Your neighbor could turn the world upside down. Your neighbor could be the one guy, the one lady that the Lord's put in their hearts to do something amazing for Jesus Christ. They just don't know Him, and God's waiting on you to go tell them. It says, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God With, read it with me. With all thy heart. And with what? All thy soul. And with what? And with
all.
This is the first commandment. That's what Jesus said. We seek the person of God. Can you handle a little bit more?
Yeah.
I also see things in heaven, not just the person of God, but the word of God. Man, it's really a cool thing. If you look at scripture, I love this. It says, forever, O Lord, thy word is what? Settled
in heaven.
That's exactly right. And if you go back and you check some things out, the name of God is amazing, is it not? Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 5 just says, his name is exalted above all names. Isn't that amazing? In Philippians chapter 2, verse 9 through 11, it says, he's the name in which every name and every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Isn't that great? Acts chapter 4, verse 12 says, none other name under heaven whereby we must be saved than the name of Jesus Christ. And then you get this psalm right here that happens, right? And it just says, I will praise thee with my whole heart. Before the gods will I sing praise unto thee. I will worship toward thy holy temple. I will praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified what? Above all thy name. Man, that Bible you got in your lap, it ought to make your socks roll up and down. You know what I'm saying? When you read it, it ought to be something that you, there needs to be something you take away from it. It's a 2,000-year-old document that God still has very relevant for you today. Isn't that crazy? And the God of this universe wrote you a love letter inside of that Bible. Isn't it crazy how as seasons go by, there are times where not only will we neglect the word of God, but it will become dry and dusty to us? Oh, I heard that sermon before. Oh, pastor, we're going to walk through that book. I know all that book before. Man, God's word is so deep you will never find the bottom. And yet, so relevant that it's like a kid playing in the shallow end of the pool. You'll understand exactly what he's trying to say. See, the things I'm finding in heaven aren't necessarily things that were just so outlandish. I'm just telling you, as I look through scripture, we can find that we need to seek the person of God. And we need to seek the word of God, right? I have people say to me all the time, pastor, I read my Bible. I read my Bible for a habit. I study the Bible for a lesson. I am memorizing his word for power. I'm meditating because my emotions are a mess. And so I'm trying to find something that's going on. And my question to them is the Christian life for God or through God? You with me? I'm not saying that's a bad thing. None of those things are bad. What I'm saying to you is that the word of God alive in you is the active source that comes out of you. God ought to just come out of you. I don't know if you've ever been around guys who have been either on the mission field for a long time or they've been somebody who you just love and respect and you've looked into their life, but you see just the fruit of everything that's going on around them. And when you get around them, it's as if they just have been spending time with God. You get what I'm saying? I love those men because those women, the fruit and the essence of God just comes out of them in every way. I'm telling you, church, this nation divided sometimes comes into the churches that are divided. It's not of God. And we've put our minds on something that we shouldn't be seeking after. He gives us some things in heaven to look at, right? I see the person of God, I see the word of God, but then I also see the throne of God. And man, I can't wait to see the throne of God, right? Ezekiel chapter 1 verse 26 says, and above the firmament that was over their heads was a likeness of a what? Of a throne, as the appearance of a sapphire stone, and upon the likeness of the what? Yeah, it was the likeness as the appearance of a man. I look at Revelation chapter 4. Keep going if you don't mind. I look at Revelation chapter 4 and I can't help but see that there's a throne room that's mentioned in that chapter. Now listen, there were only a couple old boys that left this world and then found themselves in the face of God, and every one of them instantly said, I'm not worthy to be here, right? Oh, church, isn't it going to be great, right? When you and I are able to cast the crowns that he's given us before the Holy of Holies and be able to worship the throne room? Because there is one thing in common in every scenario you find when you talk about the throne of God, and that is worship. It's worship. It's a natural thought. See, what God has done in this, in coming in to live in you, Christ in you has given you access. When you say, Abba, Father, you come before the very God of this universe into his throne room. Oh, man. Isn't it crazy that you and I sometimes... I love Chad, by the way. Chad Elstock's amazing. I worked with Chad, and he's got a work ethic out of this world. You guys in choir get to see it, but we don't. When he's up here doing his thing, he's giving it to him, man, you know? And the overabundance of what he does just comes out in their faces as smiles, you know? But isn't it amazing? And sometimes we will come in. I'm not giving you an old me or beating you over the head with the Bible. I'm just saying sometimes we're not feeling it, you know? And we'll come in, and everybody's worshiping around us, and we're kind of giving them this. You know? Wonder what I'm going to eat after this is over with. Kind of thing. Man, seeking, setting our affections upon God looks like worship. I love the way this church worships, by the way. Listen, the fight has always been over a throne, excuse me. And it's crazy when we don't worship the God who deserves all of our worship. We are literally giving heed to the one who said, I will be like the Most High God. I will exalt my own throne, right? And so when we set our affection on the throne, it changes things. And I give you the last point, and it's this. It's that we'd seek the person of God, that we'd seek the word of God, that we'd seek the throne of God. The last part is that we seek the family of God. This church needs you. I don't know where you sit in this church or what you're doing or how you're serving in this church or where you're a part of things in this church, but this church needs you. And not only do we need you on the mission field to get involved and go and give, but this church needs you in a major way. It's a family. Church is weird. It has a little bit of a business aspect to it, but it has a whole lot of family to it, does it not? Right? And what I see is a couple of thoughts about the church family that will be in heaven. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14 and 15 says, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family," read it with me, "in heaven and earth is named," right? We're going to be together for a really long time. So that person you don't like so much, get used to them, okay? Because they're going to be around you. I got a sneaking suspicion because of God's humor, their mansion may be right next to yours. You know what I'm saying? Because that's kind of the way it works. But I do know this. I know that we are to minister our gifts to those who are in the family. Man, God's given you something great. He's given you a gift that nobody else really can exercise the way that you can do it. I am horrible, horrible, horrible at a lot of things in the church. I'm not an administrator. Amen. That was your time to amen, all right? Amen. Yeah. I'm not. And you know what? If you give me the obituary to read or something to do that's boxed in standing up here, I tremble and my hands get nervous. God's given me the gift of prophecy. It's not in telling the future. It's in foretelling the word of God. Listen, there's no sweaty palms. I know what I'm preaching today, and I'm excited about giving it to you. You understand what I'm saying? It bubbles up inside of me, and it has to come out. I feel like that's the gift God's given me. But there are things that people do inside the church that I'm blown away by because the gift that God's given them. When we sit on those gifts, we do the church a disjustice. Man, we need you. Can I also say this? No, go back if you don't mind. Sorry, I did. Minister the gospel to those who he intends to be in the family. See, we're not just supposed to minister our gifts to the family and be us four and no more. We're supposed to have another's focus and minister our gifts to those who need to be in the family of God. Amen? And that's where I come full circle. Because that takes love. This is where our friends who... This is where our friends who don't agree with the things we agree with. And they come into a church. And yes, they should hear the word of God. But no, they should never walk away in a way where they feel unloved. We have a Spanish-speaking family started coming to Rockaway Beach for a while. They speak no English at all. Wish I had you guys with me, right? They are missionaries. They speak no English at all. And I know just enough to get myself in trouble, you know? Where they think I know Spanish, and then they start speaking, and I go, I don't know. So we have a lady that helps us out speaking with them. One day I said, hey, would you stop the Torres family for me? And she did. And I said, would you ask them why they come to church here? I mean, they've been coming to church here for 6 months, and they can't understand a word I'm saying. They laugh after everybody else laughs. They look around and they don't know what I'm saying, you know. She said, why do you come to church here? And she said, we just feel loved here. I got to tell you, love speaks louder than anything you could tell them from a pulpit or scream at them. We need you, church. We need you to love on this community. We need you to love on one another and be a church that's, I know it says battlefield in your name, but that's not a battlefield. You get what I'm saying? But that chooses the battlefield outside of these doors to wage a war against death, hell, and Satan, and to come forward with the gospel for every creature that's here. I don't know where you sit today, but I know this. Some of us have been seeking a lot of things on this earth and not really taking the time to seek the things which are in heaven. And today, Missions Conference 2024, I'd hope it'd be the day where you'd stop for a moment and just say, God, I don't know what that looks like, but maybe I need to start hungering to be more hungry. I'm asking you, God, to help me to thirst to be more thirsty. And this is your day. Can we do an invitation together? Can you stand with me? Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed for just a moment. I'm going to ask somebody to come and start playing instruments that I can't. I want to pray with you for just a moment, and then I'm going to ask that you would just take some time today. The altar is open. There are a few people that have already walked forward with their Bibles, and maybe it is that God's been kind of convicting your heart about the way you've been treating His Word or the way you've been treating His worship, or maybe you've just set on your gift for a long time, and it's time for you to step forward. Maybe you're not called to go to New York City, but you are called to play an instrument, or you are called to watch a door greet, or you are being a part of something that's leading people to Christ with the altar workers, or you've got something that you can offer this church that you just haven't been a part of. Or maybe God was stirring in your heart just a moment ago about getting that passport and getting on a missions trip so that He can just help you thirst to be more thirsty, to help you be hungering to be more hungry. Whatever it is, church, that God's speaking your heart about, I know He gave me this message for you. And I'm asking you to move if He speaks to you. Can we pray? Father, we love You. We're so thankful, Lord Jesus, that You give us just a beautiful place to come and worship You in. God forbid we'd walk away from here and not allow Your word to penetrate our hearts in a way that You want it to. And to let it change us, God, so that we'd look more like You. We know this world needs You so desperately. God, help us to be those that would be volunteers for the front lines. I pray, God, that You'd be with the missionaries that are here. Thank You for this missions conference that's going on. But I pray, Lord, more importantly, we'd see missions as our neighbor across the street. And maybe us exercising our own gift starts with that. Help us to thirst, to be more thirsty, to hunger, to be more hungry, God. Speak to our hearts. In Christ's name we pray.